from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Around on a daily basis.
Yep. And here's Tua, what he had to say about Brian Flores as the quarterback, as a young quarterback going down to South Beach, and they're looking for a franchise quarterback, and they got one and two, and they feel like they give him the big fat contract extension, and they really haven't had consistency at the position since really Dan Marino retired. I mean, they've had Jay Feeler, they've had Chad Pigott, they've had a who's who of quarterbacks here. Here's what Tua had to say about Brian Flores.
To put it in simplest terms, if you woke up every morning and I told you you suck at what you did, that you don't belong doing what you do, that you shouldn't be here, that this guy should be here, that you haven't earned this right, and then you have somebody else come in and tell you, dude, you are the best fit for this. Like, you are accurate, you are the best whatever, you are this, you are that. Like, how would it make you feel listening to one or the other? You see what I'm saying? And then you hear it, regardless of what it is, the good or the bad, and you hear it more and more, you start to actually believe that. I don't care who you are. You can be the president of the United States. You have a terrible person that's telling you things that you don't want to hear, or that you probably shouldn't be hearing. You're going to start to believe that about yourself. And so that's sort of like what ended up happening. And it was, I mean, it's basically been, 2 years of training that out of not just me, but, you know, a couple of the guys as well that have been here since my rookie year all the way till now.
So it's Baldy Mitch, and not a great endorsement for Brian Flores. And now I was just listening. I think it was Nick Saban on Hard Knocks. He was talking to Matt Eberflus. Or maybe it was Nick Saban somewhere else. I've seen a lot of Nick Saban, and I love him and Belichick on television. We'll get to Belichick in a little bit. But Nick Saban says, you know, with the quarterback, you have to really know who that guy is. And you have to give him positive reinforcement. Because it is the most important position in all of football. And I go back to Jim Harbaugh. What he did to empower Alex Smith. Hey, the locker room scenes. Remember they beat Detroit in the handshake gate with Jeff Schwartz. And Jim Harbaugh, every single game, would point at Alex Smith. Clutch. You're clutch. You're the best quarterback in the league. Now, we as fans didn't believe that. But he gave Alex Smith all the positive reinforcement in the world, hit shoulder pads or whatnot. And I always believed that's the way to go with quarterback. Not necessarily spoil them, but really talk to them very calmly and kind of wrap your arms around them when things get a little hairy. Bill Walsh did it at times with Joe Montana, even though he tried to trade Joe Montana a few times. But the famous image of Bill Walsh and Joe Montana in the dirt, drawing up plays together. That's an iconic image. Brian Flores didn't do that with Tua. How do you think Kyle Shanahan handles his quarterbacks? Is he more of a Brian Flores type? Is he more of a Jim Harbaugh type? Is he more of an Andy Reid type? Is he more of a quarterback Kotler? Where does Shanahan fall in this equation?
Well, I think he's a player's coach because his players swear by him. And they know that they, you know, if they buy into the system, they're going to have crazy success. I also believe that, like, he's got a little bit of both, right? He's got a little bit of the players coach thing. But at the end of the day, I actually think he's probably leans a little more old school because he's very specific with his demands. And I do think that he will, you know, Belichick, Don Nelson, doghouse you if you're not doing exactly what he needs. I'm a believer in life of, like, your mental outlook is as important as whatever your physical makeup is. That's the way I know some people don't agree with that. That's fine. But that's how I view things. And I think that, you know, Hunter Pence has talked about this, and I agree with him to a degree. Like, you have to think it and believe it in your heart and your head before you can go out and do it. Now, a lot of other people might scoff at that, but I believe in the mental power, right? And it doesn't mean that Joe Shasky's going to dunk from the free throw line. It's just because I believe it. You know, you've got to do a lot of things. But put yourself in this position. Any work environment, if everything is always negative and never positive, you're not going to perform at your most optimal. And I do believe at times you got to put your arm around people and coddle them up. There's a time to kick them in the pants. Yep. There's a time to coddle them. And it's up to the great coaches to figure out when and where. Think about this in the Super Bowl. And I think Andy Reid's more of a player's coach than he is a Belichick angry guy.
He is.
Him and Kelce had a moment in the Super Bowl, right? And that could have gone a variety of ways. And I think that both guys responded the way that they did, where it looked like Kelce, I don't know, was it like an elbow shove? I don't even know what
He was not happy. Like, he wanted that ball.
I don't know how Shanahan would respond to something like that. That's never happened. But I think that that's interesting and telling of the relationship between Kelce and Andy, that would even happen on the sideline. Mm-hmm. And it was very unique. Who is Shanahan? I think with Jimmy was a guy I actually think you needed to coddle more than what he did. I think he's done a good job thus far of praising and then also critiquing Brock Purdy in certain situations. I feel like there's some growth in Kyle in that aspect. I don't think he's like Brian Flores every day, but I think he's got a lot of that in him. I mean, look at the Ayuk situation right now. You're hearing murmurs of like the doghouse from a couple of years ago. And I think he's got a little Belichick in him. I don't think it's a bad thing.
Mike Shanahan seemed like he coddled his quarterbacks. Steve Young, he got the best out of Steve Young. Got the best out of John Elway multiple times. He was the OC with John Elway before, you know. And then think about Brian Griese and Mike Shanahan. He empowered Brian Griese. He empowered Jake Plummer. He found Jay Cutler. But you get to Washington, and you get the situation with Robert Griffin III and Kirk Cousins. And that's what people remember about Mike Shanahan. The way that situation went down.
That's the, I call that the Holmgren school of teaching, right? When I look at all the Holmgren guys who were on that staff, Mooch and Gruden and Andy Reid, like there's a teacher element to all of those guys.
No doubt. Mike Holmgren did it with Matt Hasselbeck. Nobody knew who Matt Hasselbeck was, and he got him to a damn Super Bowl.
Yep.
And he infused a lot of belief in a Matt Hasselbeck. So, I don't know where Kyle stands, but I do agree with the Jimmy thing, because coming off of Jim Harbaugh and the way he empowered Alex Smith, now he ended up giving away his job to Colin Kaepernick, and that was his handpicked guy, and he empowered Colin Kaepernick. Hell, he's empowering him to this day. He's offering coaching jobs to freaking Colin Kaepernick. That's how Harbaugh loves hard on his players. He does. I mean, we think of him as a CEO type, but he's kind of a player's coach too. He empowers his former players. He empowers players. He's all about the players. Remember all the time Harbaugh would talk about, he deserves a contract extension. He did not care. It's like, this guy needs to get paid. He's a good football player. So Andy Reid does that very well. Mooch did it, as you mentioned, and all these other guys. But Shanahan, when it came to Jimmy Garoppolo, I think he would have got the best out of Jimmy. And the more it went on alongside Jimmy Garoppolo, the more the trade rumors, the more the fan base got on him, the more Jimmy kind of like, you know what, screw this. I'm playing for myself and myself only. And, you know, I'm not saying Jimmy's an angel, but it probably would have helped the situation.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. you get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
And I wonder if Shanahan has learned from that. I wonder how the players feel about that. Is Shanahan more of a player's coach? Is he a coach coach? Is he, hey, get away from me, I'm doing my thing? I don't see that.
I do think he's close with a lot of his players. Because, like, I mean, there's a whole, like, Cabo crew that they're very close to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think he sways back and forth. Like, McVay is an interesting one. I think McVay is a straight-up player's coach.
No doubt.
But there was a point in time where he gave up on golf. Like, he just did. We all knew it. And he was hypercritical of golf. And I will give him credit. He moved off golf immediately. Once he lost faith, he moved off him that offseason, and just ripped the Band-Aid off. But I don't think he did golf any favors in that final year. I think that he learned a lesson throughout that entire process. So I think Kyle's learned certain things at every single stop. And I look at the Brock relationship currently, and I think he's praised Brock rightfully and way more than any other quarterback he has. At least in San Francisco. I can't speak for the Texans and Cleveland and Washington, but at least San Francisco, I feel like he's hyped up Brock in a way that Kyle, he's never going to, like, Brock's a superstar. That's not him. What's his face? Harbaugh would say, like, the greatest hands ever in the history of football. Oh, yeah. He would say these hyperbolic things. That's not Shanahan.
No,
but in his own way, he does praise Brock over the top.
Jim Harbaugh was great with that. He followed Crabtree running routes, just staring at him, saying, oh, man, he's got these great vice grips. Harbaugh, he's unique, man. Dude, does Shanahan's deserve a mulligan for the RG3 situation? Because seeing who RG3 has become, now, I guess ESPN just let him go.
Well,
and I thought he was a very good commentator, actually. I thought the other shenanigans, like in the booth, RG3, I could see him in college football on a panel. I thought it was a little too much. Twitter was a little too much.
Okay, that might be true. I saw it differently. I saw him, the Ponder thing. Oh, those were financial moves. You can't make, $5 million and be a C-list announcer.
Yeah, I'm not saying that, but I thought he was solid in the booth.
He's fine.
For college football.
I think he was making too much money.
Right.
See, I think both moves were fine. ESPN's not making a lot of money. Look around the country.
But what I'm saying, though, is just looking at the character RG3 has become.
Oh, he's a little
out there. He's a little goofy.
I would agree.
So, dude, Shanahan's getting a mulligan over that. Now, then he shouldn't have been playing on that turf, on that grass field. Knee gave out. It was janky as hell. They did draft Kirk Cousins in the same draft, just in case.
Show me a coach who's coached for 20, 30, 40 years, and I'll show you a line of people who thought that the coach did that family and that player dirty. It's the greatest coaches in the history of the game are going to have people that think they shortchanged them. It happens.
No doubt it happens. But it feels like Shanahan's get a bad label for that situation when they have a lot of evidence of being very quarterback friendly and having quarterback friendly systems and get the best out. Like, we saw the best out of Jay Cutler in Denver. They advanced to an AFC championship game. Did Jay Cutler look better in Chicago than he did at Denver? No, I don't know.
I thought his best years were in Denver, even though I know he had a couple of decent seasons in Chicago.
No doubt. Brian Griese. They had a couple of coffee. Best years in Denver,
absolutely.
Right? John Elway wins two Super Bowls with Mike. Steve Young.
Yep.
Was that his best season ever under Mike Shanahan as the offensive coordinator? Possibly, yes. Well,
now go to Kyle and, like, I mean, Schaub.
Matt Schaub.
I mean, him and Andre Johnson were incredible. It's Matt Schaub we're talking about. I think Kyle Shanahan's Matt Ryan is another example of someone whose best years were with Kyle Shanahan. What Kyle has done is pretty proven. A really good coach.
Right.
If not great coach, you know, depending on who you're talking to. I do think you're right that the RG3 thing has really stuck in everyone's head.
Right.
That one RG3 thing has, like, kind of, because they weren't alone in that, by the way. Right. LaFleur was on that staff.
No, he was.
And McVay was on that staff. Yep. And there's a lot of guys on that staff. Now, I know the Shanahans ran things. I also think there's just that Washington team is a lightning rod for criticism and just media.
Right.
And they were, I don't know, like, I think the way the Shanahans operated, they did themselves no favors. And that situation has lingered much longer than it should have.
Kyle Shanahan, is he a quarterback whisperer? Well, look, he's gotten the best out of a lot of these quarterbacks. Nick Mullins is still in Minnesota playing. Who would have known who Nick Mullins is? And you think about that coaching tree and all the people that's come from the Shanahan/McVay tree. O'Connell in Minnesota.
He looks awesome.
Looks like he's a quarterback-friendly type. Like watching a quarterback, Doc.
I like him.
And Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
Had a very good rapport. The way he spoke to Kirk Cousins. Zach Taylor and the relationship with Joe Burrow.
I like Zach
Taylor. Not too bad. Matt LaFleur. And Jordan Love.
I think Matt LaFleur last year proved to me that he's a really good coach. I underrated him. I mean, the two seasons, with Aaron Rodgers should have proved it, but I was like, oh, it's Aaron Rodgers.
No.
Nah, LaFleur can coach.
Bobby Slowick, Houston offensive coordinator.
I think he looks pretty legit.
CJ Stroud.
Yeah, he'll be the hot name, him and Ben Johnson.
Right. They've got a great job. They've been Ben Johnson. I don't know what tree he's from, but him and Jared Goff get along very, very well. Not sure what tree he's from.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. But the Shanahan/Mike McDaniel course in Miami with Tua Tagovailoa, he's gotten the best out of that offense. He's gotten the best out of that quarterback. And from day one, he's empowered him. He's like, look, we're going to do great things together. You are great. Like, just getting the mindset right, because I remember, you know me, I was high on Tua at Alabama, man. I love me some Tua. And he got hurt. He got banged up. So I'm pulling for a guy like that. But for just as we started the conversation, it is pretty wild that Tua Tagovailoa, who was very understated, is not going to say a whole lot.
Pretty chill.
Very chill. Go out and say that about Brian Flores. You know it was deep.
I think we learned here in San Francisco, Mike Nolan and Alex Smith, that did end Mike Nolan. If you screw up the relationship head coach to quarterback, you're done.
Yeah. Yep.
You're done. No. It depends on what quarterback the issue is. But, like, look around the league right now. Like, Why did Carolina get with a new coach? Because they want to salvage Bryce Young, right? You know, why do we think so highly of, Ben Johnson with Detroit? Because, wow, look what he's done with Jared Goff.
Right.
You know, why do we look so highly at McVay? And, like, it's quarterback, and the relationship with the quarterback. And I think the days of the old school Belichick, I can scream at Brady for 20 straight years. Even Brady threw his hands up at the end and was like, Bill, give me a little bit of leeway. I just don't think you can be that angry every day.
Well, here's Brady on coaches being hard on quarterbacks, speaking of Tom Brady.
If the coach was going to be hard on me, I was going to accept the difficult coaching because I needed to hear it. And again, it motivated me. And there was a lot of players on our team that would see me get coached hard and that they would say, okay, I got to step my game up because I don't want to get yelled at. Tom's getting yelled at. I don't want to get yelled at.
Yeah.
How do I up my game? And I think that's what accountability looks like. And you can't be, you know, so have your ego so big that, you know, any criticism is going to, you know, lessen your confidence. I mean, look, you're going out there in the Super Bowl in 2 weeks in Vegas. You got hundreds of millions of people watching. You better be tough at that point. You better have, you know, not go in there with, you know, a weak attitude.
Fragile.
I think you got to go in there and you got to embrace the challenge, embrace the opportunity. You're going to be tested. And if your coach tests you and your teammates test you, then you can go beat your competition.
That's Tom Brady. He believes in getting coached hard is essential. He likes it.
Wouldn't you agree, though, there's a fine line?
That's courtesy of ESPN, by the way.
I love listening to Brady talk, but wouldn't you agree there's a fine line on that?
There is, but that is the great of the greats right there. Tom Brady. He's one of the greatest. I mean,
no, like Duncan. Like, think about Popovich right. and Duncan.
He coached him hard.
Yeah, no doubt. But it's not like Pop didn't give him a high five.
Oh, yeah. No, they would go have wine at the end of the day. Hey, let's go out for a team dinner.
Because I see this with a lot of, like, and I know people probably like, oh, you can't compare youth sports, but I see a lot of dads coaching their kids. And they'll just crush their kid. Just absolutely crush their kid in front of the entire team. And I get it. You got to coach your son hard. And I understand they're trying to set the tone. But it's okay to give him a high five when he gets a double when he scores a bucket. And I think that, to Brady's point, getting coached up hard, I believe in that. Yeah. I do. But I also believe that every now and then, you do got to give a guy a little bit of props.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think
you can't suffocate him with negativity.
Yeah, I think Shanahan does that, no doubt. And I think Belichick did that with Brady, where they would meet up, said, "Hey, Tom, I like when you did this. Tom, I like when you did that." And the great ones know that. You got to show them tough love at times. You got to coach them, though, because it is like one of the reasons. And I think back to, I don't know why I went to this, but the Cleveland Cavaliers, for example, David Blatt's the head coach. And that team checked out of David Blatt because he would criticize and coach up everybody, with the exception of LeBron James. And even LeBron at that point was like, dude, you got to, come on, man. So then off he goes, and Ty Lue comes in, and Ty Lue's going to hold everybody accountable. Hey, Bron, we need this. Kyrie, we need this. And then everybody else falls in line. So I like what Tom said there about being coached hard. I kind of like that. Because there's two, sometimes it could be the complete opposite. There's too much coddling.
Oh, well,
and guys just do whatever the hell they want to do.
Ted Bonte, that's society.
Right. I mean,
there's a lot of coddling going on.
Fruit snacks and Capri Suns all day long. Like, we just got beat 19 to nothing.
Well, there's
like, come on now.
Like I look at Tanner Mordecai, who's playing for the Niners right now. He played on like a zillion different college teams.
Yeah.
Right? And there is something to be said for the modern day. Like, I believe in, hey, if it's not working for you at one school, go to another one. Like, I believe in that. But there's a fine line on that, too. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm not playing. I'm going to go here. Oh, I'm not playing here. I'm going to go there.
Right.
At some point, you do need to face adversity.
No doubt.
What I'm saying?
No
like
doubt.
In terms of the coddling, I do feel like we're reaching an inflection point with some of these college transfers.
You know, the Schneiders that I know, they went to SI class in 96, 97, and their brothers, and they're shooting a documentary, Josh Hunt. Uh-huh. They're shooting a documentary on a game played between Balboa High School and St. Ignatius in that wild playoff game. At Kezar, when Balboa was a high-scoring team in California, Winters Patterson and Marquette Alexander. Winters Patterson, unfortunately, lost his life shortly later on that summer. He was a hell of a player. He was dropping 66, 72. They're number one team. They're supposed to win a state championship. And they asked me to shoot some. Ollie Thomas was on SI, breaking the press with Josh Hunt. Yeah. And they won that game in overtime. And you could see the adversity, where SI was better built for adversity. You think about their resources, their infrastructure, the coddling at times, but also we're going to give you tough love with Don Lippy. And then Balboa, where it was like everybody's counting on these guys to be a meal ticket. And once they faced adversity for the first time, the coach is losing his mind. The players are like kind of lost there. And so it all comes in all walks of life here when you talk about the complexities. Background has a lot to do with it, too.
No doubt.
What background did you come from?
You know, there's a Brady cut that I sent to the group there that I'd like to play on the other side, just about building.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.